creator of all things. To the God that said, let there be. To the God that reached out on nothing and brought something. To the God that is the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the giver of all good and perfect gifts. I come to you. The creature that you created come to you. Because there's a need that need to be filled that only the Maker can fill. And I come to you. God, and I come knowing that you can and you will supply. God, and in the humblest and most meek way that I know how, I come expecting you to do it. Because you are my Father. And I come before you as your child to ask you to strengthen me. Give me words to say to cut sin to and fro in our hearts. I come to ask you to strengthen us and heal us from the sickness called sin. It's in all of our lives, some more than others. We say thank you for that as well. Father, but I thank you for looking at this hunk of clay that you have made. That is me. Thank you for giving me the ability to speak. Because, God, without you, I could not speak. Without you, I could not stand. God, and I just come to you with head bowed and eyes closed and looking at the earth from whence I came. Because in my flesh and in my sinful state, I would not dare to try to look at you. But God, when you allow me to raise my eyes from the dirt from which I come, and I look towards the hill from whence cometh my help, I look and I see your darling son, Jesus the Christ. And then I can look at you because he is in between the two of us, have fought my battle. And have won. And for that I said thank you. Because God, without you, I'm nothing. I'm just a piece of clay on my way to hell without you in my life. And I thank you, God. And I thank you for all these believers that you have placed in this place that we call Macedonia at 603 MLK and all of the surrounding areas. God, I thank you for that. Bless us now, God, as we speak your word. In the name of your darling son, Jesus the Christ. Amen. 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 And amen. Ushers, you may take your seat. I wonder sometimes why God put up with us. And I don't say that because of you. I say that because of me. I know what he have to put up with when he puts up with me. I am. Life seemed to be on a roller coaster. You're up and you're down. You feel good, you feel bad. You're on a high and you're on a low. You keep going around, you're at the same place. The only thing that remains constant in your life is God. And if that remains constant in your life, everything will be all right. If you have a program, you've seen that the
Subject of today's message is let's have a parade. No, no party, Brother Cron. Just a parade. Just a parade. A crowd always seen together on holidays or special days. My mind goes to days like the 4th of July and for us in this area, May Day. Fourth weekend in May. Everybody that's anybody will come to Crestview just to be in May Day. And we will have a parade. If you would like, you could call the Carver Hill Historical and Memorial Society and they will allow you to be in the parade. They'll have a lineup at 9 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken, in front of the school on School Avenue. And they will line up and they will parade around the neighborhood. Some of us have been here long enough to remember when we couldn't go anywhere but in the hood. But now we have been allowed to stretch it out. We go a little bit farther and we make the parade a little bit longer. Let's have a parade. The people this day and time had gathered for the Passover. Jews that were anybody from anywhere would come to Jerusalem for the Passover, in remembrance of their freedom, of in remembrance of the night before they left the next morning when the Passover came that night and they left the next morning. But they would come to celebrate the Passover. And this is what we have going on in this passage of scripture that was read in your hearing, the Passover. We title it, let's have a parade. But in this parade, there is only one vehicle. There's only one float. Everybody else are spectators. And from this passage, I think we have 5 points. This passage of scripture, Jesus is telling the people something, and he is not speaking, but he's telling them something. In this passage and in what he's doing, he is declaring, he's making a bold statement that I am the Messiah. Not telling them that, he's showing them that. But then from that, the people had a general idea to them. And that's point number one. The false concept of Christ. Don't you look at them too hard. Because a lot of us have a false concept of Christ. I don't know what yours are, but I remember what one of mine used to be. The false concept that I had of Christ was that when I came to Christ, that everything was going to be all right. The concept I had was that everybody was going to be in love with me. That nobody would dislike anything I did or said because I knew I was committed to Jesus Christ. That was my false concept of Christ. But I soon hung up soon and found out that it's not that way. That was my false concept. Because now their concept of Christ the Messiah was that he would be a conqueror. He would come and he would set them free from the bondage of the overrule of the Roman Empire. And whatever they needed, he would provide. Have you ever been there? Do you have that concept of Christ that whatever I need, he will provide? And I don't have to do anything for him to provide. He just will, because that's what the word says. I will supply all of your needs through Christ Jesus, which is enriching glory. But you got to do something if he's going to provide. That's a false concept if I just expect him. Well, you said in your word, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. But the bottom line is, brothers and sisters, he will do that. But we want him to do it, and we want to do nothing, not a thing. Just because I said I'm your child, you ought to do it. And if the truth be told, for our own children, those that grew up in our own houses, there's some things we can do that we won't do for them, but we expect God. All you young people that's in here, mom and dad ain't going to do everything for you. You want to do something for yourself. False concept is that he will be accepted by everybody. Everybody ain't gonna love you just because you're a good guy. Just because you're a wonderful young lady and you do everything decent and in order, there still are gonna be some people that's not gonna like you. And they're not gonna have to, but to them, they don't have to have a reason. They just flat just don't like you just on general principle. And it won't be people outside of your family. Some of them will be in your. Some of them will be in your church. Sit on the same pew. Sing in the same group. Listen to the same music. They won't like you. That's a misconception that everybody's going to love me. If you think that everybody's going to love you, call the White House and ask to speak to the president. But people at this particular time, they went forth and come out to meet Jesus just because they heard that he was coming. Have you done that? You heard about somebody was coming, and you just come out just for the sake of coming. Had no expectation, but you just come. And in this particular day and time, they come out with palms in their hand and cut down branches. That's why you see these palms laying down here. This is Palm Sunday, the Sunday before the resurrection, when Jesus came into town and declared himself to be the Messiah. And the people were crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, and save me and save me. But they were looking for a political Messiah. Jesus is not politically correct. If you are looking for him to solve your political problems, he will not. Some people have questioned him about him, some on the lines of, if you were so great and so peaceful, why you didn't get rid of the slavery when you came along? He didn't. He just left it alone. Didn't speak against it, but he did. See, sometimes the best way to skin a cat is to let the cat think you're going to leave him alone. And the way he expects you to skin him, don't skin him that way. Skin him another way. If he expects you to skin him from his head to his tail, turn him over and skin him from his tail down. Just skin him. Doesn't matter how you do it. Jesus was eradicating slavery because he was teaching them to respect individuals for themselves, not because of who they were or who their mama or their daddy was. He deliberately told them that I am the Messiah. Point number two. the true concept of Christ. Christ came into Jerusalem riding on a colt. A colt is the beast of burden. A colt is a symbol of peace. Jesus came in riding on a colt, fulfilled the prophecy in Zechariah 9:9. Zechariah 9:9 says, "Rejoice, O great, rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem. Behold, the king cometh unto thee. He is just and hath salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt of the foal of an ass." See, Jesus did something that they were not expecting him to do. He came the way that they were not looking for him to come. See, that's what happened to us a lot of the time. We have in our mind made up how we want this thing to happen in our life. Well, the day that I come to Christ, I want the house to be packed. I want the preacher to be hooping, and I want the choir to be singing, and I want the members to be jumping the pews. That's the day that I'm going to come. That day won't come because you are expecting to stage and show God what he must do for you to come. Or we'll say, I want it to happen in a spectacular way. What God will do, God will fix it, and he'll let it happen to you when nobody else is around, just you and him, and you'll have to testify. And you'll have to tell people how great God is and what he's done for you. See, God is a God of his own time. You can't determine what and how God's going to do, what he's going to do. You can read in his word what he's done in the past. What he's done then, he will do it again. But you can't tell him when, nor how, nor where you're going to do it. I wanted my time to be a time when all of my friends was around, and so they could see and they would know. I wouldn't have to tell them. But it happened to me one night riding down Highway 20 on a 1974 Volkswagen. I thought I was saved, going to scout a football game, going to Weewaw Hitchica. A mother artist was running a revival at Lebanon Missionary Baptist Church, and I had told her that Thursday night that I wouldn't be back because I had to go to work. And riding down Highway 20 in that orange 1974 Volkswagen, riding down there minding my own business, just praying and talking to God. And all of a sudden, come right down the middle of the road was a tire that looked like it was off of a truck that was so big. The tire looked bigger than the Volkswagen. And I'm driving that Volkswagen, and I see it coming towards me. And I'm doing about 65 or 70 miles an hour on that Volkswagen. And the closer I got to that tire, the bigger it got. And the scarier I got because it was coming straight at me. If you've never ridden in an old 1974 Volkswagen, you don't realize what I'm talking about. But if you have, you're cramped up right there in the front. And the only thing between you and whatever's coming is the windshield. Nothing else. And it was coming. And the closer it got to me, the more I prayed and the more I talked with God. And all of a sudden, it was not in front of me. It was behind me. And I slowed down and looked in my window. And I could see something looked like it was about as big around as a hubcap going down the road. And I just kept driving and kept right on praying. And that night, I promised God that if he would give me an opportunity to preach his word, I would preach his word. I don't know if anybody else heard about it. I don't know if anybody else knew about it until I stood to tell them. But God didn't let it happen the way that I wanted it to happen. I had to tell everybody about it because nobody was there but me and God. See, things happen. When you look for God one way, he'll come in another way. So don't have a way that you expect him to come. The prophecy of the king coming, the king was coming in peace. He didn't come in war. They expected him to come and kill all the Romans and set them free. But he didn't come to take out the Romans. He came to free the Jewish people and everybody else. Listen, y'all, I'm free. I don't have any shackles on me. I'm free, not because of the government. I'm free because of Calvary. I'm free because Jesus died for a wretch like me. Couldn't nobody free me but Jesus. He came in peace. Didn't hurt anybody else. But they thought that they were hurting him. But they didn't hurt him. They just did what thus saith the Lord. See, Jesus will come. And when he comes, he's coming in peace. Won't bring confusion. If there's confusion and trouble where you are, you need to invite Jesus in. Don't think Jesus will come in and cause confusion and a problem. But he will separate you. He'll split you. He'll let you know who's on your side. That's what he came to do. He came to separate. He came to divide. He divide families because there's some mothers that saved. The husband's not saved. There's some families that the children are saved and the parents are not saved. That's division, y'all. Jesus came for that. But he brings peace whenever he does it. Out of confusion, he can bring peace. We're talking about let's have a parade. Then in verses 16, there's point number three, the disciples' reaction. The disciples had a reaction in this too. I can just imagine in my mind, I can see Brother Peter and Brother James and Brother John walking along there with him saying, we are the inner circle. We somebody. They gonna make him king. You know James and John, their mama had already been there with them to ask Jesus if they could, one could sit on the right and one could sit on the left to be with him in the kingdom. They were of the opinion that if Jesus got to be king, they would have a position in the kingdom. They were looking for an earthly kingdom. And Jesus, you heard it this morning in Sunday school. My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is of the world to come, a spiritual world. Well, the disciples did not grasp the meaning of what they were looking at. Have you ever been there? Have you ever seen history being made and you didn't realize that it was being made until after it was all over? When it's all over and you got time to think about it, you say, oh, I saw history, but I didn't realize I was seeing it. We think it's only in the books, but we're making it every day. This is what they were doing. They were watching a king come in riding on a beast of a burden. Donkeys were always carrying burdens. Something that man should have been carrying, he took the donkey and was tied on each side of him. And he walked alone and the donkey taking the burden.